Please take your Bibles and turn with me now to the book of Acts, Acts chapter 6, verses 1 through 7. We're back to our message series, Church on the Move, and we are following the amazing growth of the early church in the book of Acts. And so far, as we've been working our way forward through the book of Acts, it seems like nothing can stop the church from growing, right? You know, first of all, the believers shared the gospel, and thousands of people responded and believed. Check! Church is growing. Then they experienced persecution, right, from the religious leaders. And what did they do? They continued to share the gospel and grow. Check. Then God disciplined the church for sin. And what happened? They continued to grow in numbers. Check. Every time. It's like we said last time, nothing can stop the gospel. However, with growth, with any growth, comes challenges. And in our passage today, we see the church going through what we might call some growing pains. And the questions are, how will they face these challenges? Will the church's rapid growth itself become an obstacle to further growth? Those are the questions we face in our passage today. So we're in Acts chapter 6, verses 1 through 7. For right now, I'm just going to read verses 2 through 4 as we begin. Please stand with me for the reading of God's word. So the 12 gathered all the disciples together and said, "It would not be right for us to neglect the ministry of the word of God in order to wait on tables. Brothers, choose 7 men from among you who are known to be full of the Spirit and wisdom. We will turn this responsibility over to them and will give our attention to prayer and the ministry of the word." This is the word of God. Let us pray. Dear Lord, as we look into your word now and see how you help the church handle the challenges related to their growth, Lord, I pray that we would learn how these things impact us even today, how they've even impacted the structure of our church, of all churches today. And Lord, we thank you that you are the God who guides us through these seasons. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. Please be seated. So have you ever experienced growing pains? You got to say, well, it's been a while, but yeah, have you ever experienced growing pains? You know, whether you're a growing family or a growing business or a growing church, new growth always brings new challenges. And we all go through growing pains along the way. Early church was no different. You know, so far we've seen the church growing steadily throughout the book of Acts, despite opposition, right? We've seen the apostles, they've had some skirmishes with the religious leaders, first when they healed the crippled man, and then when they refused to stop speaking in the name of Jesus. We saw how the religious leaders locked them up, and then God let them out. And at that point, Gamaliel, one of the religious leaders, gave this advice to all the other leaders. He said, you know what? He said, just leave them alone. He said, just let them be. He said, if it's of God, it's going to grow anyways. And he said, if it's not of God, it's just going to falter and fail. So they flogged the apostles, they released them, they let them be. And guess what? This movement must have been of God. The movement didn't falter because we're all here, right? Church just kept on growing. Despite the opposition, the church on the move just kept on moving. But now we come to Acts chapter 6, and here the church was faced with something that might have caused it to falter, that might have caused it to stumble. This time it was not persecution from the outside, but this time it was the inside. It was the inner tensions that was growing in the church. The church was experiencing growing pains. Once again, something that comes naturally with growth. And so here's today's message in a nutshell, okay? Growth brings challenges, but God gives solutions. And when we follow God's solutions, we can continue to grow for God's glory. There's an outline of all of this in your worship guide if you'd like to take that out and to follow along. First of all, growth brings challenges. We've seen the church continue to grow, and with that increased growth came these new challenges. Let's look at verse 1 together now. In those days when the number of disciples was increasing, the Grecian Jews among them complained against the Hebraic Jews because their widows were being overlooked in the daily distribution of food. So a couple things here. First of all, the number of disciples was increasing. It's a good problem to have, right? You got good problems and bad problems. Numerical growth is one of the church's good problems. It's a good problem to have as a church. But notice it can still be a problem. And yeah, growth is nice, but it brings these new challenges. It becomes easier for things to slip through the cracks, doesn't it? And in this case, it came down to the distribution of food among the widows in the church. There were two camps of believers in the early church in Jerusalem. You had the Grecian Jews, those were ones of Greek background who had converted to Judaism. You had the Hebraic Jews, those were the ones who were coming from Jewish families. And although they were all united by faith in Christ, there were still some cultural differences. And so the Grecian Jews were not as well integrated into the body as the Hebraic Jews. As a result, when it came to the distribution of the food, very important ministry, some of the Grecian widows were being overlooked. They weren't getting their fair share. This caused them to grumble against the Hebraic Jews, and all of a sudden, you've got growing pains in the early church. And I look at this, I look at it, I go, you know what? Things don't change much, do they? You know, even today, it seems we never take the direct approach. People naturally grumble, murmur, complain. We all do it, right? But what happens is when it happens in the church, it undercuts the church's ministry and it divides the church's fellowship. Now, the Grecian Jews, they had a legitimate complaint here, right? Their widows were being overlooked, but they were going about it in the wrong way. Grumbling, complaining, that is never the right way to approach the problem. And please, if you ever have an issue with anything here at the church, okay, just come and talk to us. Talk with me. Talk with one of the pastors. Talk with one of the deacons. We'll always have an open door. We want to hear your feedback, but we want to hear it directly. We don't want to discover it through an undercurrent of grumbling and complaining going on in the church body. That's just not right. So once again, this was a legitimate problem that the Grecian Jews had. And it was legitimate because in the church, we are supposed to be watching out for everyone, right? No one left behind. That's a great slogan for the military. It's also a great slogan for the church. But in this case, it was the Grecian Jews who were being left behind. Their widows were being left behind. Church was growing. Things were beginning to slip. People were being overlooked, which then caused grumbling and complaining, which then threatened the very unity and fellowship of the church. Numerical growth, it is a good problem to have, but it can still be a problem. New growth brings new challenges, and the early church was experiencing its first set of growing pains. Growth brings challenges, but fortunately, point number two, God gives solutions. It's God who gives the growth to begin with, right? And then it's God who gives us the solutions for the challenges that are created by the growth. So we want to see now what God's solution was for this particular problem. And it has to do with deacons. You ever wonder where deacons came from? You're about to find out. Because God's solution involved adding a second layer of leadership to the church. A second layer of leadership. Look at verses 2 through 4 with me now. So the 12 gathered all the disciples together, all the believers in the church, and said, "It would not be right for us to neglect the ministry of the word of God in order to wait on tables. Brothers, choose 7 men from among you who are known to be full of the Spirit and wisdom. We will turn this responsibility over to them and will give our attention to prayer and the ministry of the word." So first the apostles, they got everyone together, big church meeting, right? They acknowledged the problem. They said, "Hey, we've got a problem. We got growing pains. People are being overlooked." They understood correctly that it would not be right. The solution was not for them to stop preaching the word, to neglect the ministry of the word, just to make sure that this was taken care of. So what was God's solution? God's solution was that there would be 2 offices in the church, both performing vital ministries. The office of pastor or elder, same thing. And number 2, the office of deacon. And these offices are described more fully elsewhere in the Bible. Later on, if you like, you can go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, which talks about the office of pastor or elder and the office of deacon. Now, at that time, it was the apostles who were fulfilling the office of pastor or elder. They were fulfilling that function. We see in our passage this office focused on the word of God and prayer. And therefore, they said it would not be right. The word in the original language means fitting or proper. It wouldn't be right. It wouldn't be proper for them to neglect the ministry of God's word. The apostles were charged with teaching the people God's word. They couldn't leave that behind. They couldn't do that in order to take care of this other issue. So what should they do? God's solution was there would be a new office of deacons. And the deacons would come alongside the pastors in order to assist with other aspects of the ministry. In this specific case, in the physical distribution of food to the widows. Now, the word that's translated distribution here in Acts 6 is just the word for ministry. It's actually, in the Greek, it's diakonia. Do you see the word we get from diakonia? Diakon, deacon, diaconate. It comes from that word. This is the first time it's shown as an office. In fact, it's the same word that's translated wait on tables. When they said we shouldn't wait on tables, they weren't saying that that was something beneath them. That word wait on tables is that word minister, to diacon, to diaconate, to deacon, to wait or to serve, to minister at the tables. It's the same word that they used when they spoke about we have to do the ministry of the word, the service of the word. In other words, the daily distribution of food and the waiting on tables were not looked upon as a lesser ministry, but simply a different ministry. Both offices are important. Both are vital ministries in the church. The pastors and the deacons work together to minister to the spiritual and physical needs of the church. And you notice the people were instructed to choose seven men to assist the apostles in the ministry. Now, there is Old Testament precedent for this, of people coming alongside. We read about it earlier from Deuteronomy. In the Old Testament, when the Israelites increased in number, what happened? Growing pains, right? They were too heavy a burden. Moses couldn't do it all by himself. What did Moses do? He said, choose some men. Choose wise, understanding, and respected men from each of your tribes to come alongside and to assist him with the various disputes among the people. And this really becomes a model now. God's solution in the Old Testament was the same solution in the New, with what the apostles did in the book of Acts. God's solution to all this was brilliant. Of course, he's God. It's going to be brilliant, right? But it was brilliant, right? The church didn't have to choose between the ministry of tables or the ministry of the word. They didn't have to say, well, what are we going to do? We can only do one. What do we do? No, they could do both. The apostles would focus on their specific ministry of prayer and the word of God, and the deacons would focus on their ministry of the daily distribution of food. And it's right here in Acts chapter 6, folks, that we have the beginnings of the deacon ministry in the church. Sometimes people wonder, well, does this limit diaconal ministry to only the physical needs of the church or to doing benevolent work? I think it's better to view this, what we see here in Acts 6, as a specific response to a specific need at the time. And really, when we speak about deacons, whenever ministry needs, whatever they may be, need to be addressed that would detract from the praying and teaching ministry of the pastors and elders, diaconate ministry is both needed and appropriate. So who would these deacons be? How would they be chosen? God prescribed a careful process for the choosing or selecting of these new deacons. Look at verses 5 and 6 with me now. This proposal pleased the whole group. They chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit. Also Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas from Antioch, a convert to Judaism. They presented these men to the apostles, who prayed and laid their hands on them. So just a couple words about the people in the list. Stephen and Philip are listed first. That's because they're the most well-known. In fact, as we go on, we're going to see some stories about Stephen and Philip in the book of Acts, starting next week, actually, with Stephen. Nicholas is listed last. Nicholas was a proselyte. Means he was not born a Jew. Rather, he converted to Judaism later. Also, we know he was not from Jerusalem originally. He was living there now, but he came from Antioch. It's very interesting. All seven of these men who were chosen have Greek names rather than Jewish names. Isn't that interesting? It doesn't mean that they were all Grecian Jews. This was a Greek culture, and this may have just been their Greek names. Nicholas certainly was, though. He was a Grecian Jew, and probably others were as well. So think about it. Why would it be so important to make sure that some Grecian Jews were included among the seven? Because, remember, it was the Grecian widows who were being overlooked. And so there was a lot of wisdom. There was great wisdom in these choices. What were some of the qualifications? How did they go about choosing these seven new deacons? First, they were to be qualified leaders. Qualified leaders. Once again, if you go to 1 Timothy chapter 3 later and look it up, you can read in more detail the qualifications for elders, pastors, elders, and deacons. But here, three main qualifications are given. We're told that the deacons were to be full of faith, full of the Spirit, and full of wisdom. In other words, deacons should be mature believers who are walking with the Lord and are known to be wise and discerning. Full of faith, that means mature. Mature in your faith, mature believers. Full of the Spirit, that means walking in the Spirit, walking with the Lord. Full of wisdom, that means wise and discerning. And this is so important. In other words, these new deacons, they were coming in to help with the food. This wasn't going to be just anyone, okay? They were not just functioning as teenage waiters in a restaurant, okay? These were to be mature believers who would stand alongside the apostles as leaders and ministers in the church. There was also to be a prayerful process in selecting these leaders. They were to be chosen by the people, presented to the apostles, and then appointed with prayer and the laying on of hands. People sometimes wonder, what's this laying on of hands all about? It's really an act of identification. It represented a sharing or a passing on of leadership authority. And so the church followed these guidelines. They followed God's solution. They chose seven men to serve the church as deacons alongside the apostles. And we follow the same processes today as we choose deacons. We choose and select them in prayer, and we make sure that they are qualified leaders. Growth brings challenges, but God gives solutions. So what was the result of following God's solution for these challenges in the early church? Remember, these were challenges created by their own growth. What was the result? Church continued to grow. Right? It worked exactly as it was supposed to. Look at verse 7. So the word of God spread. The number of disciples in Jerusalem increased rapidly. And a large number of priests became obedient to the faith. So three things here. First of all, the word of God spread. This comes first because, once again, it emphasizes the primacy of God's word in the ministry of the church. Remember, this is the whole reason why the deacons were instituted to begin with, so the apostles wouldn't be distracted, so that they wouldn't be pulled away from their prime ministry, so that they could give their full attention to the ministry of the word of God and to prayer. The church cannot grow without the word of God. It's not going to happen. Jesus said the word of God is like seed that the sower sows, right? Think of it in physical terms in a garden. No seed, no garden, right? No growth. Same thing in the church. No word, no growth. And so the word of God spread. And then number two, the number of disciples increased. You see, the word of God grows the church both spiritually and numerically. It is through the ministry of the word that we as Christians, that we grow spiritually in our knowledge and love of God. We grow in personal holiness. We grow in our love and care for other people. But then it is also through the ministry of the word that other people hear the gospel. They hear the good news about Jesus. And they come to Christ for salvation. They become a part of the church. A church on the move always seeks to be growing both spiritually and numerically. And then number three, the ministry of the word also yields some unlikely converts. And in this case, a large number of priests became obedient to the faith. Basically, the opposition joined the team. I mean, how cool is that? And perhaps it was the testimony of this food distribution had an impact on them. You see, the priests had a similar system in place for the poor Jews living in Jerusalem. And perhaps when they saw the love of these early Christians and how they came together and solved their problems and took action, taking care of the poor believers in the church, perhaps God used that to soften their hearts towards the gospel. Now, when you share the gospel within your own personal network of neighbors and friends and coworkers, when you do that, don't be surprised when the most unlikely of converts joins the team. Never write anybody off when it comes to the gospel. God can draw to himself anyone he wants, and he loves to draw the most unlikely people to Christ. We're going to see this in the Apostle Paul later on in the book of Acts. Paul, who went from persecutor of Christians to persecuted for Christ, the most unlikely of converts, became the world's greatest missionary. So what are some of the applications we can draw from our passage today? There are several here. Let me share them with you. First of all, the pastor's ministry in the church should focus on the ministry of the word and prayer. I like to think of the pastor's job description in terms of the three P's: preaching, people, and prayer. Keeps it real simple. As long as I'm doing those three things, people, preaching, and prayer. And prayer includes both praying for people and with people, and so that also includes counsel. The pastor needs to be available to people for both counsel and prayer. Number two, deacons are called to serve alongside pastors to help with other ministry needs as the situation demands. This allows the pastors to remain focused on the word of God and prayer. Number three, both types of ministry are equally necessary. Neither should be neglected. Number four, the church should carefully choose qualified people as deacons. Deacons are God's second layer of leadership for the church. And so we need to be very careful as we go through that process of selecting deacons. Number six, church leadership. Oh, I skipped one. Number five, the church must adapt its leadership to meet changing needs. In other words, deacons may need to vary their roles depending on the current needs of the church. We haven't always had 10 deacons at our church. At one time, we had 8 deacons. At one time, we had some deacon positions that we don't have now. We have new deacon positions that we didn't have then. What happened? Needs changed in the church, and so you adapt accordingly. Now, number six, church leadership should be bathed in prayer. Church leaders should be chosen in prayer. Church leaders should be prayed over at the time of their appointment, and they should be prayed for during their entire term of service. I hope you pray for your pastors and deacons. I know many of you do. If you don't, if you stop and think, it's like, you know what? I don't know if I pray for my pastors or deacons. Please change, okay? Please pray for us. We need your prayers. You want to pray for your church leadership. And what is the result of all of this? A healthy, growing church where God's word is taught, where God's word is lived out, where God's word is honored and spreads. You see, God does not grow his church just in order to have it flounder or fail. So when God gives the growth, we can expect that God will also give the solutions for the challenges that come with that growth. What's our part in all of this? We just need to follow God's leading, follow God's word, follow God's solutions in order that we may face the challenges and continue growing our church to the glory of God. Amen? Amen. Let us pray. Well, dear Lord, we thank you for this passage. We thank you that for all that it teaches us. Lord, we thank you that the solution you put in place in Acts 6 is still going strong today in our church and churches around the world. Pastors and deacons, making sure that all of the needs of the church are being met in a way that brings you glory, and so that we can continue to grow through the ministry of the Word of God and prayer. Thank you, Lord, that we get to be a part of a church on the move around the globe. Lord, we want our church to be on the move, but we want your church to continue moving and growing, and more people brought into the kingdom every single day. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.